case scenarios. On the refuah for a michush ba'alma, and a person who's not really a chola, even she'en bo sakana. But I got the sense, some feedback from some people, that the topic of refuah on Shabbos was a difficult one to do under the conditions that this year exists under. I mean, it's really something you have to spend a lot of time on, and something you have to really to appreciate and absorb and retain. You have to really go through the studies yourself, and it's true. I agree with them totally. I will say this. So, in response to that, what I'm doing, what we are going to be doing, just to give some technical details. Instead of doing the scenarios from the previous material, I'm happy to speak to anyone about any specific issue that you wanted to discuss in detail. What I'm going to quickly move to today is Chol She'en Bo Sakana, and some of the scenarios that involves.
Yes, for a second?
Chol She'en Bo Sakana.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's something else, you'll see.
Sorry.
What we'll do is, then next week I'll be away. The following week, there's a Yerodea Bechina that follows this year, so I imagine the attendance might not be that enthusiastic with the Yerodea Bechina coming up afterwards. So actually, Rav Miller suggested we move it over to a different day that week, which is fine. The topic we'll be doing, the next topic I wanted to do, is the last one on Refuah on Shabbos, and it will be specifically that issue that has been raised before, and that is pikuach nefesh for a non-Jew as a topic. Being dochei yisurim for a non-Jew and yishum pikuach nefesh. That, I think, is a very exciting and interesting topic that is not as requiring of tedious work. I would like to emphasize, though, the reason I am pushing through with now Chol She'en Bo Sakana anyway is I think it's worth having an overview of this topic. Obviously, you'll see in a minute that this is the area that is probably the most challenging of all the Hilchos Refuah on Shabbos, is what we're going to do today. And knowing how to use it right, knowing when to be maker, that's what we're going to try to focus on. A lot of people are machmir in this particular area unnecessarily, with unfortunate consequences at times, which is really unnecessary. The key is education. So how many people here have gone through Hilchos Refuah on Shabbos in detail, made it a project? Anybody? Oh, not that many. Okay, nobody. It's actually something, you know, it's hard enough to do Hilchos Shabbos, true. A lot of the Hilchos Shabbos that you end up doing is interesting, and there's a lot of good lumdas, there's also Lach L'maisa, but I would argue, aside from maybe Bishul specifically, that the issues of Refuah on Shabbos are going to be encountered by all the people in this room more than probably all the other inyanim melachos, to a large degree. This comes up for everybody, one way or another. So it is kedai to make it a project at some point when you're able to. Today, I want to raise the following issue before we begin going through the Makoros for Chol She'en Bo Sakana, with an agenda. Often, very often, a person, as I just said, encounters a situation where there is a chola at home who needs some type of attention. You're pretty sure that it's not a Chol She'en Bo Sakana. And by the way, again, can't emphasize enough, if there's any doubt at all, you must assume that it is a Chol She'en Bo Sakana. You can't take any chances. So, here are cases where people get confused. For example, a little kid with a fever almost certainly is going to be, with a significant fever, is almost certainly going to be like a Chol She'en Bo Sakana, right? Unless you're a doctor who's looking at his ears and making the specific diagnosis and then treating it, right? You can't really change his status. So, and even then, like an ear infection, can be argued is itself a situation that untreated can be a sakana. Right? There are definitely cases. Reason we treat ear infections, for example, is because you can have horrible consequences of an ear infection. Not just the local complications of a perforated eardrum, but there are cases of meningitis and horrible things that can happen just from a simple ear infection. So I can't emphasize enough that if you have any doubts whether a situation could become a sakana, always err on the side of caution completely. But let's say you're in a situation where you're pretty confident that it is not a chalashish basakana. For example, an older kid, a 10-year-old, and he has a slight fever, cold symptoms, complaining of an earache. He's a chalash ein basakana. Right? You're pretty confident. What can you do for him? What can you do about that on Shabbos? Or let's say you have a situation where you, yourself, an acquaintance, a child, had a traumatic event where it looks like there's a serious injury to a limb. Right? Sakanas Eidah. What can you do about that? Now, these are very important questions, particularly here in Eretz Yisrael. Because in the United States, what we're going to see, there's an easy way out of all of this. And that is with the ready availability of non-Jews, we're going to notice that that's going to be the most common and easiest way out of all these type of situations. Just Amir and Ochri, we're going to see is mutter in both those situations without a doubt. You can have an entire fracture diagnosed and taken care of without doing a single darasa in the United States. What I found since being here is that it's far more challenging. Far more challenging. You don't have the options of just getting a taxi, and we'll talk about some of the other using the telephone, some of the other issues in terms of getting things through the rabbanans. But here, what do you do here? It's particularly challenging. What if you have a case that you determine is not a sakana, and yet it's sakanas eved, which we'll learn in a minute. You cannot do daraisis for sakanas eved. You can't be mechal Shabbos daraisis. So that becomes very, very much a challenge here. What do you do? Because there's some people think, I heard this, I couldn't believe it. Someone, I asked people, what do you do? So one person told me they drive with a shino. I said, what do you mean you drive with a shino? So, okay, let's talk about getting into a car and driving it involves several aspects of Isur Daras, right? Opening the door, turns on the light, right? The light usually is an incandescent light in many cars. It's going to be and it's a daraisa. So that you can get around easily. Shino. Open the door with the shino. Okay. Close the door. Do that with the shino too. Kibbuy, lachashem, tzuchu, gufa, whatever you want to do. You can work down the opening and closing of the door very easily. Put the key in the nishin, carry the key. Muksa, no problem. Muksa is not a problem. We'll see that in a minute. You can, let's say it's hotza or shesiyachit or shesiravim, not a problem. Do it b'shino also. When are you going to start to run into problems? All right, you want to turn. Put the key in the ignition. Any problems there? Is there any chilul Shabbos putting key in an ignition? No, now that we took care of mukso, no problem. Putting it in. Turning it. Definitely. Isur d'oraisa, right? Turning it on, spark, combustion. Isur d'oraisa. Do it with a shinoi. Some people suggest using two fingers. Everything's okay. Now, you got to drive. You put your foot on the pedal to give it a little gas. So I said, that's going to be an issue there, I said. Right? Combustion. He says, I'll do it with a shino. How? The back of his heel. I said, you drive the whole way that way? And braking is going to be the same problem because of the lights. Also the shino. That is crazy. Don't do that. Definitely don't do that. That's like a big note. I told the guy, you're absolutely out of your mind. I hope you're kidding. I said to him, because it's hard enough to drive in this country. But anyway, so what can you do? That's the objective of this year, is what can you do when you don't have pikuach nefesh on your side? So to begin with, let's go with what's mafurish. Right? What's mafurish is that Amir Lenachri is okay, like I just said. That comes out of many sugyot, but the main one is Shabbos Kufchav. That's the first marmakam that you see in the handout. And really, it's in the context of a woman who just gave birth. So we learn that there's different milestones and different status that this woman has after giving birth. For the first week, she's considered a cholesh yesh b'sakam. From 0 to 7 days. Right? There's a little chiluk in the Gemara, 0 to 3, 3 to 7. For all intents and purposes, from 0 to 7, she's a cholesh yesh b'sakam. From 7 to 30, that's what that little line is over there, now you got it. From 7 to 30, she's what? A cholesh yesh b'sakam. What's mutter for her? So the Gemara tells us, you can't do any daraisas, but osin al yedei aramai kiderab ula kol tzorchei chol anasin al yedei aramai b'shabes v'rav emnuna davar she'in bo sakana omer lenachbir ba'ofsa. Mefurish, there's no arguing on this. That's why in the States we had it so easy. I never realized how easy I had it. Everything for chol she'in bo sakana, whether the sakana is either or not, just have a guy do it. Easy as pie. I remember when I was doing my fellowship in cardiology, I was very lucky that one of the fellows I was working with was this Saudi Arabian, and he turned out to be one of the tzaddikei umos ha'olam, unbelievable person. I said to him, if they were all like you, we would definitely have peace. The guy volunteered to be my Shabbos guy. It was unbelievable. He just would travel with me everywhere. Just, he did it to be a nice guy. I couldn't believe it. So, if you have that option, it's great. What about other derabbanans? What about other isur derabbanans? So, if you look at the next major makor, it's from the Rush. There's a sugya in Avodah Zarah, which talks, it's on Daf Chavches, it talks about that a person who had an ayin shemerada, a rebellious eye, merid, right? What does that mean? The eye was not doing well. That's how we'll some type of illness in the eye. But it was not one that they were worried about blindness. But it was a significant illness. So the Gemara there learns that it's mutter l'chochla. You can use medication for this eye, right? As long as you're not being over on any isuri daraisa. You can't prepare the medication, but you can apply the medication. So you can do dinim derabanan, right? But you can't do dinim daraisa. So what do we learn from that sugya? So the Rosh says we have certain definitive declarations. Number one, is this a case of sakanas eder? The eye? Yes, it is. Sakanas eder, by the way, doesn't mean, this is very important in general, halach l'maisa, sakanas eder doesn't mean you're going to lose it. It's enough that it's going to be damaged. And that counts as sakanas eder. Right? Doesn't mean you're going to be paralyzed in a leg or an arm, chas v'shalom. It means that it's going to be weakened, even. Significant.
Even as temporary?
Not necessarily. Right. It means that a permanent damage, but not one that's complete damage. It could be just weakened or, you know, hampered. Everyone has the, I think a lot of people think that it means that the gamre, that you're going to lose use of it. It doesn't mean that at all. Like over here. So the Rosh says, what do I learn from this? I learned something important about sakanas eiver. That when it comes to a case of sakanas eiver, one, l'chumra, I can't be over on daraisas because this sugya told me I couldn't prepare the medicine, but I can be over on all isuri derabanan. So when it comes to sakanas eiver, it's not only amir l'nochri, any isuri derabanan is okay. What about chola she'ein bo sakana without sakanas eiver? The Rosh raises it, and he's totally misupah. Safek, he goes, Sarif Iyun. How often do you see the Rosh saying Sarif Iyun? Not that often. Over here, the Rosh says, Sarif Iyun. What do I do with this case? And this becomes the major dilemma. Achola she'en bo sakana. All I know is Amir l'nachri is mutter. Is anything else okay in terms of even Isurei Darabanan? Certainly Isurei Daraisa are out. Can I do other Isurei Darabanan? It's going to be very important. Allah l'maisa. I can't emphasize how important, especially in Eretz Yisrael, it is to know what the rabbanans you could do in a case of chol she'ein bo sakana. And it starts off with the Rosh saying, suffix. Why is it such a suffix? So I wrote just 8 samples of why. Obviously, this is the reason that in order to learn Hilchos Shabbos and Refuah on Shabbos, in particular, you need to do a lot of work, is because to do this right, here are 8 sugyot that deal with chol she'ein bo sakana. And some go together, some contradict. You got to put it all together. You got to be ma'ayin in every single one of these. So when you have so many sugyas to be ma'ayin, then what's the natural thing that results in terms of rishonim? Major machlokes rishonim on this issue. Major four-way machlokes with all sorts of sub-machlokes in as to how to deal with the simple question, a cholish ein bo sakana, what is mutter in terms of dinei d'rabbanan? So what we're going to do to help you organize it for the day, you guys, Mitzvah Hashem, will do this on your own in detail, right? And again, you got to go through all these sugyas to work out each shita, if you want to do it right. But I'm going to show you the major shitas briefly, just to highlight it for you. It's important to know the shitas that we don't hold like Me'ikar Adin La'alacha, because we are going to use the ones, the kula, when it comes to halacha l'maisa. You'll see in a few moments. So if you turn to page 2, here is the page of the Mekila. This is what I call the Mekila page. One sugya that is worth just reading through is the sugya from Ksuvos. Tanya Rebbe Meraynas. Omer Goneach Yonek Chalav B'Shamas. What is a Goneach? So Rashi points out, a Goneach is somebody who is wincing in pain, right? He's crying in pain because of, let's say, heart pain, according to Rashi, right? When I read this, to me, it wasn't real cardiac pain, it was heartburn that's going on here. We'll see why in a minute. By the remedy, this is a famous Gemara, I'm sure a lot of you have seen this Gemara, right? So a person who is in pain because of this condition, which I think is heartburn, but some people call it angina or cardiac pain. So Yonik Cholav B'Shabbos. He can directly suck out milk on Shabbos as a remedy. That would never hurt, that would never help a person who's having cardiac pain. That's why I'm leaning towards heartburn on the diagnosis. Either way, it's a refuah, right? Why? It's a refuah that's being done how? What is the possible issue here? What's milking a cow? Mutter or usher? Isidore. Did you do that yet? Right, it's major machlokes, right?
Yeah.
So, is there dash begidule karka only? No, what? Right. That'll be the machlokes. So, over here, let's try and figure out what we can get from this sugya on that issue. It says that my timer, why are you allowed to do this? Why are we letting the chola she'im bosakana? By the way, it's clearly a cholish in basakana. Why? Tosos points this out at the top. Tosos, because if this was a cholish in basakana, we wouldn't be talking about anything, right? Mm-hmm. Mutter right away to do isur deraisa. Obviously, there's no heter to do isur deraisa in the sugya. We're going to talk about doing things kolachayad, right? So obviously, this is a cholish in basakana. But still, perhaps I'm not allowed to milk the cow. My time that I can yonek mefarik kolachar yad, because by sucking it out this way directly instead of by hand into a bucket, he's doing it kalachar yad. And it's only because it's kalachar yad that it's mutter. Because this is tsar, the guy's in pain, either heartburn or angina, and because of that, so the normal gzera of not doing it kalachar yad, gzera or malacha Shabbos of kalachar yad, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about with that? Is kalachar yad of a malacha d'araisa aser midirabanan because of a gzera or because of malacha d'arabanan? You're all familiar with the chiluk between malacha d'arabanan and gzera d'arabanan. Have you done that? Who here is learning Hilchos Shabbos now? Just so I don't make any assumptions. Not everybody, right?
No.
Alright. We'll talk. Rav Shechter has a very famous piece on this chiluk, which we're going to get into because halacha l'maisa is going to affect us. We'll get back to it. But for now, the Gemara simply says that I can do Mefarik, which is milking the cow, which we'll assume is dash, even though there's other opinions. Kela'achir yad. So Tosfos is right away bothered. Why would Tosfos be bothered, those who know the machlokas over gedulei karka? Because he's bothered, wait a second. There is no iser of Mefarik or dash in non gedulei karka. That's midaraisa. So it's only us and midarabanan altogether. So why do I need to be doing it kela'achir yad if it's already only us and midarabanan? That is Tosfos' kasha. What's his answer? His answer is, well, it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's within Rabbi Yehuda's shita, right? And Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that even non gedulei karka is going to be osim daraisim, and therefore you needed to have it kalachar yad. What is implicit? Forgetting about the details of gedulei karka and all that, that's a sugya Shabbos ayin hey, right? Chilazon, all that. We're not interested in that. We are interested in the implications of Tosfos is kasha and teres. What is he telling you? He's telling you how the meaning was. We don't need to have a double derabanan here, right? Why on earth do we need a double derabanan? Teretz is because there's a shita that doesn't consider this a double derabanan. What does that imply? That according to Tosfos, in order to take care of achol she'ein lo sakana, what's mutter? A single derabanan, right? That's the implication of Tosfos' shita right here. What's a way out of that? Why might this be different? Some people want to say it might be different because of the tremendous tsar in this case. Right? This is a case of significant tsar. But otherwise, the simple implication is that he is saying even a single derabanan would have been enough. Just non gidule karka, should have been mutter. The Ravid below it offers a similar shita in his comments on the Rambam. Also, he seems not to differentiate. In other words, what are the sheikhs doing? They're not differentiating what you can do for a sakanas aver from what you can do from a choleshein b'sakana. That's going to always be the two items we're going to be playing with, right? Sakanas aver, which we know all the rabbanans are mutter, but the suffix is on choleshein b'sakana. That's the one. According to the sheikh of the Tosfos here, the Ravid here, and the Rashba in his Chubos, not in his Perush on Gemara, he there has a different shita, but in his Chuvos, he paskins also Lakula. All three of these say, and this is going to be useful for us, this shita, all three of them say, no difference basically between Choloshin Basakana and Sakana's Eiver, all the Rabbanans and Bhattar. We do not paskin like this shita, but we will use it. Next page has the shita of the Ran. The Ran is the one who goes Lachum. The Ran says, focusing on another Gemara where it says that Amemar also had an eye ailment, and for his eye ailment, he had to have the medication delivered by an Ochri. So the Ran says, I can't get around this. If he needed an Ochri to deliver the medication, what does that prove? Right? Delivering medication, what issue is that? The one we were talking about all this time before, right? That's the Isra Fua. It's certainly at worst of the Rabbanan. Why do I need a Nochri? It must be, the Ran says, that Sakana's Eiver, a single Rabbanan is Mutter. But Chalashim Basakana, it's not Mutter unless you have a Shvus Bishvus. You need two Rabbanans. Then, just to move this along, if you look below the Ran, you have the Rambam. And the Rambam, the dark of the Kodesh, is the subject of a machlokes, what exactly he's saying. You have Lakula and Lachum. So if you look at the Rambam himself, he says, Chola she'en bo sakana osin lo kol tzarchav ayidei goy. That no one ever argues with, that's Mefurish in the Gemara, like we saw. Everybody agrees that Chola she'en bo sakana, certainly you can have a non-Jew take care of. Then on the bottom, the Rambam says, Ve'im hayu tzrichim v'dvarim she'en bahen malacha, Osin otan afilu Yisrael. And if he needs some things that are, whatever this expression means, she'ein bahen malacha, right, and that is open to a lot of interpretation, which is going to be the source of the machlokis here, he says, then even Yisrael can do the rabbanos. And then he gives some examples, right? You can fix a displaced fracture, you can do all sorts of nice things because of that. So, the Magid Mishnah, he will tell you, and if you look where I drew an arrow where the focus is, I'm not going to read it, but the bottom line is he's Mekil. He's like that sheet that we just saw. And he even answers the Ran's Kasha. He says, the only reason in that Gemara that you picked where Amemar had the problem in his eye and he needed an Ochri was in that particular case, it wasn't even Sakana's Aver. There was a Sakana, there was no Sakana. There was an injury not to Kol HaGuf. It was almost like a Choli B'miktsas. A little bit of a choli. And therefore, he needed to do a shvus d'shvus. But normally, the Magid Mishnah maintains, and you can look through it for the details, that the Rambam Shita is, for Choloshim Basakana, just like the Shita we saw, all the Rabbanans and Mutter. Comes along the Kesef Mishnah, and he says, Ein Dvarav Brunli, it doesn't make any sense. The Kesef Mishnah makes a very good point, right? Because the Ran, the Magid Mishnah, had made the following chiluk. He said that it makes a difference whether there's a choli that's affecting your whole body or only one part of your body. He says that's not anywhere in the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't make any mention of being machalik along those lines. What does the Rambam mention? Where's the only room for chiluk within the Rambam's words themselves? Somebody tell me. Circled. She'ein ben malacha. There's the chiluk. And therefore, Rav Yosef Karo, Kesef Mishnah, and he does this in Beis Yosef, even in greater length, he develops a shita that the Rambam is telling you that really, it all depends. There's, again, no difference between Sakana's Eiver or Kol HaShem B'Sakana in all cases. If there's any Srach Malacha, if there's anything related to a Malacha, whether it be a Dindar Eis or a Dindar Rabbanan, then it's Aser. But as long as it's not like a Malacha, even if it's a Rabbanan that's not a Mirul Nachri, it'll be Mutter. What's an example of that? Classic example would be Rafua. Right? The Gezeri Rafua has nothing to do with Malacha. Maybe it's Shema. You'll come to do Malacha, but it itself does not involve anything that looks like Malacha or smells like a Malacha. So therefore, that kind of thing would be okay according to the Shita. And anything that doesn't have a Srach Malacha, which we are going to need to define, although we don't paskin, and even the Beis Yosef, the Machaber does not paskin like his own Shita over here. Who do we paskin like? Well, I'm rushing through these Rishonim. Again, we have the Kula, Tosfos Ravid Rashba. We have the Chumrah of the Ram. Then we have the Rambam is split between the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah, whether it's Kula or Chumrah. The real sheet that we're interested in is on page 4, the Rambam, the Torah Sahada. That's how we poskim. This is where Rav Aposkin feel is the MS. Did you want to answer a question?
Oh yeah, I just want to be clear in terms of the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos over here with Kesef Magid Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
It says L'dvarim she'ein bayin malacha, that includes Shvut. I mean, just in terms of the case.
What do you mean by Shvut?
Yeah.
Right. So here's a. It's interesting.
I'm assuming that that'll include even one Shvut, or should I not do something?
Yeah, you can, but it depends on the details. I'll tell you what I mean.
Okay. So compared to the other Rambam that we just saw, where he's talking about what was the context? The one with the Ravid.
Oh, over there. Yes, yes, yes.
He's also talking about
right. So where the differentiation between what's going on in this Rambam and that one will be in Miktsas Choli versus Choli Shein Bo Sakana. Okay. This Rambam, the one with the Ravid, is specifically Miktsas Choli. Now this is a detail that we're about to tread into, but you should appreciate that there's definitely a difference between Miksas Choli and a Choli Shein Bo Sakana, which are met with big nafkaminos. So the Rambam specifically in Halacha Tes over there is talking about the Miksas Choli. It's a much lower level of Chol.
Right.
And over here he's up to a Choli Shein Bo Sakana, which is a higher level. Room for more Heteva. What exactly he's saying is open territory. Again, you get a very different answer to your question whether you go to the Kesef Mishnah or the Magid Mishnah. But we're going to actually understand this idea of Srach Malacha, like the Malacha or not, in greater detail. Because I'm telling you, a single Shvus is okay, right? But, according to the Magid Mishnah, but it'll depend on what it is exactly. We'll see more in a minute. But, I wouldn't be Mayan on that now.
According to my mission, the Ravid is a chiluk between
a sakana that affects, not a sakana, a choli that affects the entire goof, or a choli that is only like a choli b'miktsas, right? What he was talking about in that other Rambam. So the Magid Mishnah says the answer to the Ran wanted to say, we see this Gemara where the guy needed a Mirul Nachri on top of the Gzeira Refuah. So the Ran says yes, but that's only the Magid Mishnah says yes. That's only true when it's a very mild illness, meaning it affects one area of the body, right? That's what he keeps focusing on. So the Magid Mishnah, that's the chiluk.
But that's not a sakana
zeva. No, that's absolutely would make no sense. You can never have sakana zeva be more makil. You know, that we're more machmir in sakana zeva than we are in chol hashem b'sakana. You're right. That's if you look at his words carefully, you'll see he says it's one part of the body, She'ein bo sakana. Right? Because if it's sakana is eiver, then it should be the most mitgil. Right? It's hard to get around that. But he's careful to say it. So he's like, he's saying the case of a Amemar, Nekamara, and Beitza, it's a Gemara Beitza, right over there, that was a Chalib and Mitzas. It wasn't a Sakana Zever, it wasn't even a Chalashim Basakana. Therefore, you needed, in that case, the Shus Tishwas. But in general, he maintains the Rambam is one of these Mekilim that holds any Shus is okay. No differentiation between Sakana Zever and Chalashim Basakana, the Kulu. Right? Both of them are okay to do all of their bonds. He's holding that. In the case of Mishnah, totally disagrees. He says you're making up an artificial chiluk that doesn't exist in the Rambam. And the real chiluk is the Rambam is concerned with, and this is getting close to the halacha. This, the case of Mishnah's shita is closer to where we're going to end up, and it's closer to Rav Schechter's whole essay as well, that there's an important difference to make in Isurei Derabanan between whether they appear like a malacha, are related to a malacha to the outside world, or they're pure gzera, something like that. With no srach malacha. But we're going to elaborate in a moment because we're going to see that the Ramban really gets into this. And the Ramban is the shita that we task him on. The Ramban right here. I should point out, the Ramban in Avodah Zarah, in his parish over there, in Chavches, does not hold like this. But this is the one that everybody chooses to pass him on, the Ramban in Torah Adam. So he lists in the pages before Chaf Aleph over here. If you look through Torah Adam, you see he goes through all these Gemaras. Those eight that I put on the front page and maybe some others. I don't know if I got them all. I did that the last minute. But there are more than those eight. There's even a few more. But he then summarizes it all up. The Hafki Peruka Demilsa. Here's my chat on all these Gemaras put together. Michlu she'adam cholim imena v'nofel mishkav ve'ein bo sakana achola she'ein bo sakana. This he could safely say hetirabo mishum shvus she'ein bo masa. That's going to be a very important expression. He sees this as a unifying feature. What's mutter, and this will help us retain the halacha ma'aseh too. What's mutter is a shvus she'ein bo masa. Da'ainu amir la ramad. Okay, amir la nochru. Good, that's the easy one, right? Everybody knows that. Kuf Chavtes, Shabbos, Mefurish, everybody says it. The Chain, here is the line that is the subject of a Machlokes in the Rambam. What does he mean by this line? The Chain Hetirubo, Shvus de Malacha Hanasis Mishino. What's Pshat in that line? Who wants to take a stand at it? Let's say you didn't read the rest of the Rambam, just from the words. Right? What are the two possibilities? Somebody just tell me. Two possibilities. One, he's telling me not only is Amir Nochri Mutter, but even Kil Achar Yad.
Kil Achar Yad, if you do a Ramacha Draban.
That's one possibility. And the other one? No, he's talking about. He said Amir Nochri. He's finished with that. Or what's the other possibility? Kil Achar Yad, even. Anadaraisa. Which one is he saying?
He says Shvus.
He's saying the Shvus is that you're doing it Kol Achayad. You read it like this: V'chani Tirubo Shvus de Malacha. What is an example of the Shvus de Malacha? Hanasis Peshinoi. That's the way you would read it. What is the Rabbanon of Malacha doing it Peshinoi? And there are some big Gedolim Baruch Hashem, I will add, that learn it that way. We don't paskin that way L'chatchila, but the day is saved to some degree because some very important people learned the Ramban the second way. Right? It's interesting that we as a group, including me, when I learned it, we intuitively went with the majority opinion. So we're doing okay. Right? But there is a strong minority that says the bigger chiddush. Let's see if we can tell anything from the rest of the Ramban. So he says, V'zeu she'amru davar she'ein bo sakana omer la'amai va'oseh. Right? He gives you a few examples of that. If you skip down a few lines, that's another example of Amira of a Kalachayad being mutter. Right? Now, here is a strong raya against those who say he's giving you the bigger chiddush that he's even being matir Kalachayad on Daraisis. Part of this makor for this din of Kenny Tirabo Shwus de Malacha Nasis Peshinoi is that Gemara we looked at from Ksulos. What's the critical question in deciding whether he means kalach hayad under Raises or only under Rabbanis? What's the critical question? What's going on in that case? What's his shita on gedulei karka? Does anyone know? What does he hold about dash? Does it have to be gedulei karka or not? If he says it's dash d'oraisa, even on non-gedulei karka, or if he suddenly holds like that funny shita that's in the Tosfos in Shabbos that says that a cow is gedulei karka, if he holds like one of those shitos and he's saying that it's d'oraisa, then you can assume that when he says kalach hayad is mutter based on this source, he's saying it even in the context of a d'oraisa. But if he holds that mefarik, milking a cow, is definitely derabanan, you're going to have a tough time justifying that shita. So I'll tell you that he holds it's derabanan. So a lot of people are critical of that minority shita that we're going to nevertheless make use of because of this point, this single point. We know that Ramban holds that mefarik is derabanan. If he's using that as his source for this head there, it sounds like he's saying what the majority think he's saying, which is, you only could do kalach hayad in a choleshim basakana in the setting of the Isur Durabana, not an Isur Duraisa. Just to move down, you could read the inside. It's important to get. He gives you a little bit of his unifying theory on all of this, why he says these are the two things that were mutter, right? Why is it? For Choloshim Basakana, so the only things that are mutter at the end of this shita are going to be A, Amir al-Nukhri, and B, Kalach HaYad on Adur Abana. Why should that be? That's a question. So he explains it a little. But then he throws in at the bottom, Aval Choli Sheyesh Sakanas Eiver Afal Pi She'enan Hashama Tzuluyabo Hetirubo Kol Shvus Sheba Olam. On the Sakanas Eiver, he's Mechalek, and he's Lakula on Sakanas Eiver. This Shita of the Ramban is what is brought l'halacha. If you look at Shulchan Aruch Shin Chav Ches, which is below over there, this is Yud Zayin. It's a very difficult se'if to understand and read through and retain, but not anymore. Because all the Mechaber does there is all the shitas we mentioned. The Kula Shita of Tosfos the Rashba, the Magid Mishnah, the Shita of the Ram, and the Shita of the Beis Yosef himself, and the Shita of the Ramban, he just lists all of those. That's what he has. The third one is the one that counts. Yesh Omrim, that's the Ramban. Afilu Yesh Bo Sakanas, it's the Yesh Omrim Shein Ein Bo Sakanas, where the arrow is. Ever Osin Beshinoi, Vim Yesh Bo Sakanas Ever Osin Belo Shinoi. Meaning you could do, right? And later on he says, the Divrei Hasra Shlishis Nirin, this is the third Shita, the one of the Ramban from Torah Adam, that for an Eiver, you can do any Shvus, but for a Choloshim Basakana, it's an Isidur Abana B'yadayim, only B'shina. In the Mishnah Berurah, just in case anyone would be confused whether it could be Kalach HaYad, even on a Daraisa, he makes sure you realize, Nun Dalid, Osin B'shini, Hainu HaIsidur Abana. Right? And he tells you that this Psak is according to the Gran, Magen Avraham, and everybody agrees that this is the Psak. So, Halach l'maisa, if we ended right here, life in Eretz Yisrael, I believe, would be very difficult. Because anyone who's not a Cholosh Yesh Basakana, you are very limited in what you could do for them. Unless you have a goy, right, then you could do a lot. If you don't have a goy, which is usually the case in typical Jewish neighborhood, right, you're limited to a shinoi on a derabanan. That doesn't allow for a lot of things. One of the things I'm talking about, for example, when I'm in the States, every Shabbos almost, I'm called to somebody, a little kid, to look at their throat, to look at their ears. I need a light. I can't do it without a light. So, can I turn on the light? How? I determine as a doctor, I can tell whether this is a Choloshim Basakon or not. This is a Choloshim Basakon. Right? 10-year-old ear infection is not going to end up, you know, with meningitis, unless, you know, it's obvious to me. But I often am able to make the call, right? You can't, by the way, right? Unless you're a doctor. This is where ignorance is bliss. There's a little advantage to not knowing that much in this regard, Don't assume ever that you could tell who's the Chol Shabbos Sakana unless you're really positive. Right? Any doubts, you got to treat him like a Sakana. I want to say that 1,000 times. Never want to be responsible for anyone making that mistake. Getting back to this, so I can, though. I make the determination. How did I turn on the light? Now I did it. It's a Chol Shabbos Sakana. I can't turn on the light. That's a Nisidoraisa. Can I do it Bishinoi? Can I turn on the light Bishinoi? That's what some people told me to do. According to what we just said. Absolutely not. What do I have to do? I get Ed. Ed lives across the street from me. He's a great guy. He's getting old. He's like 95. I don't know if I can use him forever, but he's there. I have him come over. I say, Ed, turn on the light for me. No problem. Right? Now I'm in Beit Shemesh. Ed doesn't live in Beit Shemesh. He lives in Teaneck. I go, Ed, you got any Eds? I ask around. There's no Eds. There's no Arabs in the immediate vicinity. I have no one to ask. What on earth do I do? According to this, I can't look at their ear. I can't look at their throat. So what am I going to do? I tell them, well, let's see. Suffer. No, that's one option. Go to Terem. That's not so pashut. That doesn't involve other Yisroel. The whole situation becomes very difficult. However, Rosh Shlomo Zalman must have been aware of this. That's why, to me, I don't know this for a fact. It just seemed natural that he would be the one to take this a little further. So let's see how we take it further. Number one, we have already, we know there are significant Rishonim that were making on this in the first place, right? Oh my gosh. How are we going to get? Number two, we have, who are those significant Achronim that learned the Ramban Lakuvi? So one of them is right here, the Eglei Tav. The Eglei Tav, okay, Motu Yisrael, Asoslo, Afirma Malacha, Gemura, Shaltorah, Al Yidei Shinun. The Eglei Tav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, right? And if you look, we're going to see a footnote which gives you the Ksos, it's an interesting group, you'll see in a minute. Some of them are not Hasidim. Also will pass in this way, the Kuvah. So that's going to be very useful. We'll see you in a minute. Then we have something else. The Ramah. The Ramah on the halacha we just saw makes no comment in terms of who we should pass him like. Presumably he holds we should pass him like the Ramban in the way the Machaber presented him. The Chumrah. But then if you look later on in Lamed Zayin, there is a comment on Rafur, the Gzera Rafur on Shabbos, where the Ramah throws V'chein im nafal mishkav shari. If you are a chola she'ein bo sakana, you are allowed to take refuah. We mentioned that already in our previous discussions. Is that so pashut now? According to the psak for a chola she'ein bo sakana, what are you allowed to do? Amir l'achri, and what else? A double rabbanim b'shino. Does that mean you can take refuah? No. Refuah is a single derabanan. You can't be over on a single derabanan. How could it be that you're allowed to take refuah as a chol she'ein bo sakana? So this...
Is that applicable?
Yes. The truth is that l'chomer you should do it if you're chol, even if you're chol she'ein bo sakana, b'shino. The Mishnah Berurah picks up on this. He says... Umistimas divrei haramah mashma she'ein tzarich afilu she'yeh eino yudi moshit lo ela mutar lo likach ba'atzma. Ve'af agav de paskina le'el se'if yud zayin k'dei ha'shlishis d'shvus she'yesh bo ma'aseh asur al yedei Yisrael ve'eino mutar ki'im al yedei shinur. So he wants to understand the Ramah, so he gives you the following thing. He says, here's another exception. This is an exception. Right? This particular Zera of Refuah is an exception that will be mutter b'machkon choli. Why? What is he going to fall into? Srach malacha. He's going to fall into that. He's going to say the Ramah is recognizing that chiluk. That by the Zera of Refuah, there's no srach malacha, so that one you can do. It does open the door a little though, right? Because now anything that's not srach malacha, presumably, even though it's a single derabanan, should be okay for a chol she'ein bo sakana. For example, muksa. Muksa is mutter for chol she'ein bo sakana. That's very important and very useful. You don't have to have sakana seder. Muksa alone is mutter. It gets rid of a lot of spekos that people have when they're dealing with sick people. Interestingly enough, and I added this, if you look on the next page, the last minute, you can tell because it's kind of just, I didn't have a place for it because I found it after I put together the sheet already. The Darkei Moshe himself, when you look in the Torah, the Darkei Moshe, he doesn't make the chiluk that the Mishnah Berurah says. He's not mekil, it seems, just because of some halacha. He seems to be mekil because he's holding like that first sheet there. It's very interesting. We don't have time, but we're not ironing this. It occurred to me, if you look at this Ramah, in the Darkei Moshe, he's really implying a bigger kula, which is also going to help us. It's going to help us because if you look at the final psak, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, the words of Rishlomo Zalman. What does he say? Let's first quickly look on top. So, the straightforward halacha is Chalashim Basakana, Mutra Ayidei Nochri. That's number one. Ava Yehudi lo yichalo es HaShabbos Melacha Gemura Shasur Min HaTorah, Afilu Yishba Sakana Zeva. Again, Sakana Zeva, we're going to allow all the Rabbanans, but not Isurei Deraisa. Fine. Number three. Va'asur lo la'asot melacha da'araita afilu b'shino. Shelo keder chasiyasa l'chol. He goes like the Ramban and the Mishnah Berurah and the Ikar Psak. However, he throws in parentheses. Va'onam yesh migdolei ha'poskim ha'matirim le'yehudi la'asos tzorchei refuah aso shel chol la'she'im bo'satana gam im asiyatam kshura b'melacha da'araisa. In other words, even on top, and that's, everyone knows the significance of that. It's not only in the footnote. The Shmir Shabbos is presenting on top this kula that obviously the chatchila you should not do this, but if you're stuck, like I was not too long ago in Beit Shemesh, you can rely on the kula to just do b'shinoi and isur derabanan even for chol hashem b'satan. And he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman as the source for this kula.
This is the Raisa.
Yes, in other words, just shinoi on an Issur D'Oraisa, meaning I could just b'shinoi turn on my light, which is what I had to do.
If for turning the light, how could it? I mean, maybe this is a deeper question, but if the actual problem is when the light is actually turned on, how could you actually make a shinoi? Because when you turn the light, so it's just not doing it. It's kind of a good, but that's not actually causing the lock. The lock is actually what's triggered from turning the light switch, which is the circuit. Which is, you know, ignited.
I'm not assuming bona in a circuit is a deraisa. That's an argument. That's a debate. The light going on, you're calling it like a groma to turn the. You're going to make it more mako, but I don't think that's true. I don't think turning on a switch is considered a groma to turning on a light. And there's your. It's not a groma. Did anyone say that? Did you learn that?
No. I mean, that was just, that's what I said. Maybe it's deeper than I know.
Yeah, it's the right thing. They're right. Flipping the switch is doing either Bisho Havara, whatever you want to call burning the phone. All right. Where's the source for Shamati Magon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach? The Mekevan to call Ela Hagdolim Matirim Mistaba Diyacholim Vadei Lahakel in Efsha Yidei Nochor. That was the situation I felt I was in. That is the situation you sometimes face here in Eretz Yisrael. And then he quotes. If you want to see some of the other people that are going straight Lakula. There's one other situation though that I wanted to focus on just for a second. And that is the Sakanas Eva one, another one where you can sometimes get into big trouble. So let's say you're faced with somebody who has a traumatic episode on Shabbos and you're worried about a fracture or something like that. What do you do? This is a big dilemma people have. In the United States, again, no problem. Just get the local guy and do the whole thing. From top to bottom, you can do the whole thing. You can get him casted. You know, unless the orthopedist is Jewish, some days you're not lucky. But here in Israel, it's much, much more difficult. Because we said, what are you not allowed to be over for Sakana Zeder? Mr. Deraisa. Ever? Totally? So, I noticed also here, and in Nishmas Avram, that we're going to admit, there is basis for being makil in this area. Number one, cool number one is that you, of course, have to be positive. There's no real sakana. Do you think any of you guys can ever do that? Again, I would maintain you cannot. Unless someone's here, a doctor, or trained to know, this swollen leg is not the sakana type. Not so easy. Truthfully, not too easy for too many doctors. I don't think that I would feel comfortable ever making that definitive assessment. Someone who's a swollen leg, very true, right? Let's say somehow you are, I don't know, you're the orthopedist or whatever you are, you know, this is a sprain, you know, they somehow could do it. Right? I think they make it up. It's on tape. I do the Gemara. They're wrong enough. But either way, if you could say that this is only Sakanas Eva, does that still limit you only to Isuri Darabanan, or is there any room to be made? So there's interesting takes on this. And that is, first of all, Rav Shechter even mentions this. Rav Shechter mentions that the Sridei Eish mentions the Shita Sama'iri. And Iri holds, and there are certain Tosfos in that hold this way too. You'll see it in the footnotes here, that Sakanas Eva, it's Mutta Dudaraisis. So Sridei Eish questions how they come to that. You have to learn, it's based on the Gemara. It's very difficult. Very difficult. In other words, they have to do something with all the sugyas that seem to have Sakanas Eva that don't allow Dudaraisis. Right? I'll talk about it after if you want to look at them. But Halacha L'maaseh, which is what I'm trying to translate, if you look at the very last page, right? This is from the Nishmas Avram. Everyone knows what Nishmas Avram is, I hope. Everyone familiar with it? Great Sefer. Sefer Avraham, one of the Gedolei medical ethics, right? A real Talmud Chacham, a real good doctor, right? Great guy. He wrote an encyclopedic work called the Nishmas Avram. He takes Shulchan Aruch, all the Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch, and anything Nogeya to Refua, he gets into. So over here, he writes the following. After quoting the Kula that we just spoke about from Shlomo Zalman, he then adds, when it comes to Sakanas Eiver, Yesh Letzareif, V'cholze Gamdas Kama Rishonim, Shach Sakanas Eiver Mutul Yisrael Echalos HaShabbos, Afilu B'Yisurei Torah K'chol Chol Sheyesh B'Sakan. And then he says the following, which I never realized until I saw it here. That's, I did realize that one. But this one is a chiddush to me. He's getting this. He doesn't footnote it here, but he's getting this from the Tzitz Eliezer. This, the Tzitz Eliezer made this statement. As a doctor, I understand what it means if you're writing for laymen, but the Nishmas Avraham is writing for doctors, really, even more than laymen. So I'm not exactly sure I understand it. I have to ask him to explain it to me more, because the Tzitz Eliezer doesn't explain it. Rala means poisons, right? Does every case of Sakanas Eiver release poisons into the body, making it a Sakanas Nefashos? In that kind of case, for sure. Bacteria. For sure, right? But the more typical case where you run into dilemmas, if someone has an infection, that's like a cellulitis. Easy with that Sakanas Nefashos. So if he's talking about that, which might be the case, you might be correct, then the degree of this cooler just got knocked down significantly. Because, first of all, I always understood that as being a Sakanas Nefashos, right? I even thought that the case with the stitches that took place in our own Rus Kolo, right? I thought that was a Sakana because I know, right? And I heard it from one source, Rabbi Tendler. Rabbi Tendler, in a case like that, Refuah writes that if someone needs stitches, that means there's a Sakana element of infection, treat it like a Sakana, just to let you know where that comes from. But, and certainly an infection that's present at the moment will always need to be viewed that way. Yes, cellulitises are deadly. Ooh, they could spread like this. Very scary. All right, you got to be aggressive with those. However, I'm more thinking about the guy that's got a little injury to his leg or his arm that we're worried there might be a little fracture there or not. Right? Can I really be over on the rices? I would be afraid to be. Right? Now, if you're not sure, then you have to be. But what if I'm sure? See, I have a problem. Sometimes I could be pretty sure. So I thought I was getting a nice cooler here. They were making some kind of broad hat there. But it doesn't make sense to me. I have to check into it. So Lamaisa, for the typical person who will not be able to determine that, I would say you have a lot of room to be makel in terms of getting that person to the hospital and getting it checked out. Make sure that you don't have a sakana in place. All right, we're going to stop with this. Anyone who wants to talk about any kind of specific cases, to the best of my ability, I'd be happy to. What we're going to do again when we come back is we're going to try to get into back to some more of the exciting, the new, and controversial. We're going to do this issue of Pikuach Nefesh for a non-Jew as an issue. It's a strong philosophic issue. It's not so much Halacha L'maisa for most people, although it might be. You never know who you're going to run into running on the street. But it has significant hashkafic implications. So we'll do that. After we do that, we're going to do the issue of Metzitza B'peh. I think that's a very important topic to do. It's very hot in the States still. We'll review what went on there. I got some inside information that's interesting and is able to be for public consumption. So we'll look at that. And then from there, we're going to start possibly getting into the issues towards the end of life issues and all those things.